Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to the ST Engineering conference call on the proposed acquisition of New Tech Group N.V. All participant lines will be in a listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for questions after the presentation concludes. This conference will be based on the company's SGX news release and its accompanying presentation with slides, which are posted on SGXNet and the IR section of the company's website at www.stengg.com. Please download and refer to these documents to follow through the discussion. Please note this conference call is being recorded, and the recording will be made available later this afternoon on the IR section of the company's website. I now hand the conference over to Lena Pua.
Good morning to all, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again. Short notice, we know, but thanks for joining this call. This is Lena, Head of Investor Relations. On this call, we have with us our senior management team, Vincent Chong, our CEO, Cedric Foo, CFO, and Ravinder Singh, President for Electronic Business. Now, as you know, the Satcom business falls under the electronic sector. Agenda for today, Vincent will start with his opening remarks and key highlights of the transaction. Ravi will then go on and share about the satellite industry, where we are today in terms of our satellite business, and he will then talk about how New Tech fit in. After which, we will open the floor for Q&A. I now hand over to Vincent.
Very good morning. Welcome to this conference call. As announced, we have proposed to acquire New Tech, an established Belgium-based company in the Satcom industry, for 250 million euros. Before I run through the transaction highlights, I want to put in perspective our Satcom business. Over the years, ST Engineering has been growing our Satcom business through our US-based iDirect and Singapore-based Satcom products and solutions businesses. Today, our Satcom business is an industry leader in the aeronautical and maritime segments and is the technology provider for leading global satellite operators such as Inmarsat, Intelsat, and SES. I'll now take you through the presentation material, which you would have downloaded since last evening. It was made available. But let me just ask you to turn to page 2. Just point attention to the disclaimer. You can now just move to page 3, the transaction highlights. We entered into an agreement yesterday to acquire 100% of New Tech Group N.V., or New Tech for short. And New Tech is the name that we'll be using throughout our presentation. New Tech is a key technology provider with unique ultra-high throughput capabilities and strong presence in the European Satcom market, although it does have global operations in other regions of the world as well. Consideration of 250 million euros, or approximately 383 million Singapore dollars, on a cash-free and debt-free basis, subject to closing adjustments. And this translates to a multiple of 14.6 times New Tech's EBITDA and 2.7 times revenue for the financial year ended 30th September 2018. So those numbers are reflected on this slide 3. We expect about 200 million Singapore dollars in value creation arising from cost and revenue synergies. The consideration will be fully satisfied in cash at closing. It will be funded through our internal cash as well as external borrowings, and it's expected, this acquisition is expected to be earnings accretive for the group. As shared in our Investor Day, we have clear goals. If you may turn on to the next slide, page 4. We have clear goals for our smart city business with a target to achieve more than 2 billion Singapore dollars worth of revenue by 2022 from the $1 billion mark in terms of revenue in 2017. So this acquisition fits. If you refer to this slide, undergirding the three verticals, we have three smart city focus areas: smart security, smart environment, and smart mobility. But undergirding these three sectors, verticals, are capabilities and businesses that straddle across those three verticals. And one of them is digital connectivity, which during the Investor Day, we explained that this includes our satellite communication business. So this fits very well into our overall smart city strategy. And this capability are enabling technologies for other capabilities such as cybersecurity, data analytics, robotics, and digital connectivity. We have consistently been investing in capabilities and businesses that help accelerate our growth trajectory, especially in the smart city business. For example, through our corporate venture capital unit, we have invested in promising technology startups with strong capabilities in data analytics, cybersecurity, for rail transportation and autonomous vehicles. We have also strengthened our robotics capability with the acquisition of Aethon some time ago. So this new tech, the proposed acquisition of new tech, is another meaningful development in our execution of the group's smart city growth. Now, on this note, I will hand over the floor to Ravi, who will share details of the Satcom industry and where we are for this Satcom business, as well as how new tech would fit in. Ravi, please.
Good morning. This is Ravi. So let me continue with the rest of the presentation. So I'm now on slide 5. Slide 5 shows the satellite industry value chain, starting with the satellite constellation and the manufacturers right at the top. And then in the next layer, we have managed services and system integrators. The ground segment, which have got the antennas, hubs, network management systems, and remotes. And finally, the end users. Today, ST Engineering, with iDirect and also our Singapore subsidiary, we play in the ground segment of the business. And in particular, in terms of end users, iDirect is strong in the aero as well as the maritime segments. You notice we highlighted LEO constellation in the orange color up there. One of the growth drivers, as I'll explain in a short while, will be the new constellations that are coming online that will create a lot more capacity and create more demand. So let me move on to the next slide, slide 6. Slide 6 shows how the demand for Satcom is growing very fast. We expect on average a CAGR growth of 10 to 15%. When we look at it, we look at four major segments. As I mentioned earlier, iDirect is strong in the aeronautical and maritime space. In the aeronautical space, we expect up to 23,000 aircraft to be connected. And more important, the utilization of bandwidth for in-flight data usage is expected to grow. Similarly, in the maritime space, we expect a lot more ships, including cruise ships, to have more satellite bandwidth as well as connectivity. Connected cars will be one of the new and emerging demands that is expected to grow very significantly in the years ahead. We estimate that by 2022, more than 125 million cars would have connectivity through satellite connections. And the last space that we believe will contribute significantly to demand and growth in the satellite communication industry will be in the area of smart cities, in the Internet of Things, Internet connectivity, in monitoring of utility, disaster response, as well as backhaul. I move on now to the next slide, slide 7. What slide 7 shows is how the capacity is growing significantly, and this will open up new markets and applications. So on the left, you see that the capacity in terms of throughput and bandwidth will increase from 2017 to 2022 by 7 times. We expect more than 5,000 LEO satellites to be launched by some of the major players that are mentioned there. And NewTek has already successfully tested over-the-air low Earth orbit or LEO satellite communication. Because LEO satellites, unlike GEO satellites, operate at lower altitude, they move a lot faster. So there are some technical and technology differences and challenges, and NewTek has demonstrated that they are one of the first to do this. On the right, the chart there shows how we expect the economics of the satellite communication industry to play out. Bandwidth will increase, bandwidth costs will drop as we move up, and the number of terminals will increase and the number of users will increase. This will create demand and grow the satellite communication industry. I move on to slide 8. Slide 8 shows iDirect's position today in the satellite communication industry. iDirect is the preferred SATCOM platform. We operate with all the major satellite operators such as Intelsat, SES, and Inmarsat. And today we serve some of these major segments: maritime, aero, I mentioned, military, and of course the enterprise business. I move on to slide 9. So where is NewTek? So NewTek today is a leading SATCOM equipment provider. NewTek is based in Belgium. It designs, develops, manufactures, and sells SATCOM equipment, and it provides critical SATCOM technologies. It has a history of innovation and awards. It owns IPs and patents for critical SATCOM technologies and possesses critical know-how in creating efficient, scalable, and economical solutions for SATCOM applications. On slide 10, we show how NewTek brings technology and applications to the group. On the top, you see TV broadcast and cell backhaul, as well as video streaming and social media. These two applications are driven by technologies that NewTek has and has already operationalized. So I won't go into technical details, but say that NewTek is strong in the broadcast and cell backhaul, which requires dedicated high bandwidth. There are technologies that allow that to be done. Similarly, they're also strong in video streaming and social media, where we need to be able to manage on-demand and dynamic bandwidth. And on the right, they also have a critical technology, which is called forward error correction for satellite communication, which allows for robust and reliable connectivity. This is a core communication technology that NewTek has that is valuable for us. I move on now to slide 11. Slide 11 shows how NewTek and iDirect are going to be complementary. So starting from the left, in terms of the user domains, we have today iDirect is in the maritime space, in the aero or aeronautical space, in the land space, in enterprise, and we have a small presence in cell backhaul. NewTek, on the other hand, is stronger in areas where there is a higher demand for throughput, in the broadcast space, in the consumer space, as well as the cell backhaul space. So together with iDirect and NewTek, ST Engineering portfolio of satellite communication is much stronger and broader. I move on to slide 12. So how does this acquisition help ST Engineering position its SATCOM business? We are using this acquisition to position us for future growth. The future growth will be driven by what I've described earlier, but also by some new demands that we expect to come online in the coming years. First, to deploy 5G networks in remote areas, higher capacity backhaul is required. With our acquisition, we'll be able to support the deployment of SATCOM-enabled 5G network. Second, there is a growing need for more IoT and M2M connectivity globally using satellite communications besides the traditional terrestrial communication. And thirdly, one of the areas where we think there will be significant demand in the coming years will be to provide communication to support end-to-end solutions for the mobility market, especially and including connected cars, both EVs and AVs. I move on to slide 13. Slide 13 shows the revenue value creation that we expect. We estimate to create about $200 million of value, and both in terms of revenue synergies and cost synergies. In terms of revenue synergies, we're looking at enhanced products and solutions, cross-selling, penetrating new markets as well as emerging markets, and we intend to position NewTek in Belgium as the group's European SATCOM center for our R&D as well as for our business. On the cost synergy side of the house, we expect to achieve economies of scale. First, in R&D, between iDirect and NewTek, we expect to be able to rationalize and focus our R&D. In terms of the manufacturing and supply chain, and of course, in terms of the common go-to-market, these revenue and cost synergies will help us create at least $200 million of value, and we believe we'll be able to get this value in the midterm. So finally, on slide 14, a summation of why the acquisition of NewTek is a strong strategic fit into ST Engineering's satellite communication business. First, the IP and technologies are complementary. It will give us a much broader portfolio and allow us to access new segments. Second, we expect earnings to be accretive from year two because of the strong synergies, which is 2020. And thirdly, we expect to benefit from the high growth potential in the markets that we are positioned in. Thank you.
So we now open the floor for Q&A. Karine, do we have anyone on the line for questions? So taking questions will be Vincent and Ravi. And of course, at this point, Cedric will be joining us in this Q&A sessions too.
Thank you. And it's also star one if you'd like to enter the question queue. And we'll pause for just a moment. And once again, that's star one to enter the question queue. And we'll take our first question from Horngen Low with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking time to speak to us early in the morning. I have a few questions. One is, can we try to understand the historical growth rate for NewTek from a top-line and bottom-line perspective? Is there any numbers you could share with regards to their growth in the last few years? Second question would be NewTek's market share in their current silos, the businesses where they are currently operating, and also the revenue target of $200 million is a very good number. Is there some kind of a time frame that management is looking at for you to achieve the $200 million revenue synergies? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the question. So let me address the questions that you have raised. So first of all, NewTek has been growing quite fast over the last couple of years. The growth rates is in the high teens. In terms of their strength in the various segments, I would just say that in some of the segments, especially in the broadcast segment, they are, without giving details, they are very strong and dominant. One of the key players in that particular segment, which is one of the reasons why they are attractive to us.
All right. Maybe we can take a look at the...
Honghan?
Yes.
Honghan, let me just clarify. The $200 million is value creation. It's not revenue synergy. So we expect value to the business to a tune of about $200 million in the midterm, as Ravi mentioned. And this would include the positive contribution from cost and revenue synergies. And we mentioned that with economies of scale, as we grow the business, we would have the ability to address the market with, I think, more efficiency versus having to duplicate more resources as we grow the business. I think that's the real synergy that will come to us. And as Ravi also mentioned, we will have common go-to-market approach covering the global markets with complementary strengths by the various parts of our SATCOM business, including NewTek's strength, which Ravi mentioned.
No, right, Carter. Thank you for the clarification here, Vincent. Maybe I could try to rephrase my question another way. And Maybe I could ask this way, is that if we were to have a five-year horizon, what would be the value creation we are looking at? And are we looking at about $50 to $100 million?
We expect
about... So in terms of our forecast or modeling?
Hong Han, we expect a bulk of the $200 million value creation to be realized in the next 5 to 7 years, the bulk of it.
Okay, got it. Got it. That's a very good number. And Mike, can I pose this question back to Ravi, which is on the market share? There was also mention about the LEO satellite launch, a lot of excitement having more than 5,000 satellites coming through. Is there any kind of ballpark market share that you think new tech would be commanding 2-3 years down the road?
Well, okay, so first of all, with the additional launches, there's going to be a lot more capacity. And that capacity is going to bring prices down and bring in new customers, new demands, and grow new markets. But in terms of market share, I can't share that, but I'll just say that IDR is very strong in two of the segments, aeronautical and marine. And NewTek is stronger in the segment that requires a lot more higher bandwidth and dynamic bandwidth, and that's mainly in the broadcast segment.
Okay, I'm looking at the circles here in your slide 11. All right. Okay, thank you very much. I'll let someone else ask the next question there. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Neil Sinha with Maybank. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning everyone. I've got 3 or 4 questions. The first is, in the acquisition price, is there any goodwill, and if so, how much is that? The second is R&D. I've come across companies, tech-related companies, who have slightly different ways of tackling R&D costs depending on which country in Europe. So for new tech, is most of it expensed, or is there a component which is typically capitalized? The third question is, this is an assumption that the company is not profitable at the bottom line yet, because you mentioned it would be earnings accretive from next year. Is that correct, or is that wrong? And then finally, could you give us a sense of what the EBITDA margins look like now, without, you know, as a standalone, without any of the synergies and all of that being factored in? Thank you.
Yeah, this is Cedric Fu, the CFO of the group. Thank you for the question. Let me just debunk the first assumption that you had, which is that the company is not profitable currently. That is untrue. The company is and has been profitable for some time. Secondly, when we say that the acquisition will be accretive from year two, I think we need to clarify this a little bit. It means the second year after the acquisition closes. So if we assume the acquisition closes sometime in second half of this year, then basically what we're saying is 2020 will be accretive P&L-wise.
Okay, understood. Yeah, I wasn't very clear about that. Okay.
And in terms of goodwill, yes, I think in the space that ST Engineering Group is in, technology, digital economy, and so forth, instead of been in businesses with hard, big assets like aircraft or ships. So naturally, fixed assets are low, and therefore, when we go into acquisitions of this nature, one would find that we'll be incurring some goodwill in the process. In fact, if I point you to the press release, in the second last paragraph, we did describe how the consolidated net tangible assets would have been.
Got it.
Yeah, had the acquisition occurred in end of 2018.
Okay, got it.
So let me take the question. Let me take the question on R&D. So NewTek's treatment of R&D actually similar to what we do in iDirect. We expense some of it and we capitalize some of it. So it depends very much on what's the R&D area, and also how the R&D will grow, new products, and will be recover in the future. So there is a mix of both R&D as expense as well as capitalized. But it's very similar to what we've been doing for iDirect.
Okay. And I think the last question, Ravi, was can you give us any sense of margins? I know that will evolve quite drastically over the years, but as a starting point for us to pencil in the first full year of acquisition.
So NewTek's EBITDA margins are quite also similar to iDirect's, and they are in the high teens.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Ahmed Magfer with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just trying to understand how is it the, I don't, probably this is a basic accounting question, but how is it that the net tangible assets will be reduced? Probably just give some color on that. And then with regards to the synergies, if I were to quantify what you have in slide number 13, where would be the most synergies be derived from? Is it more on the cost side or on the revenue side? And if you could quantify percentage-wise, that would be great, the top two percentage-wise. That is all.
Let me just take the first question, this is Cedric again, on accounting for the goodwill. So when ST Engineering acquires NewTek, we pay a consideration, as we stated before, of about 383 million Singapore dollars. Then we look at the balance sheet of the company we are buying, the target. We look at their tangible assets, and we also look at, and we allocate during a PPA, what will be goodwill and what will be intangibles like customer contracts and so forth. So the goodwill and intangibles actually will add up as an approximate at this point to 345 million. So you pay 383, but the bulk of them are goodwill and intangibles. So therefore, if you take 345 million, that would equate to about 11 cents per ST Engineering shares. And pre-acquisition, the ST Engineering NTA is 41 cents. So we expect that 41 to drop by 11 cents to give us an NTA of about 30 cents post-acquisition. And these are just estimates at this point.
Okay, I understand. And with regards to the slide 13, where do you expect the highest proportion of value creation to be derived from?
Let me address that question. This is Ravi. We expect the higher synergies actually to come from the revenue side of the house because we expect quite a bit of growth in the various segments.
Okay, and of the four key points, which one would be the most? In terms of new markets or cross-selling or enhanced products and solutions?
So maybe let me just address that in a different way. So first of all, iDirect has our current satellite business has quite a global footprint. So the first benefit we are going to get is to use the access that iDirect has to reach out to a lot more customers and all the major SATCOM suppliers. So that's the one that we expect very soon. In terms of products and solution, we expect with the synergy of the capabilities we have, we will be able to deliver more end-to-end and stronger products, especially with the higher bandwidth. And of course, we are targeting and participating both in iDirect and NewTek in many of the new segments. May I just share an example? So recently, iDirect, one of the first satellite communication companies that has done 5G satellite communication trials successfully. So both on the NewTek side and the iDirect side, we are targeting new and emerging markets, and we expect this to grow quite strongly.
I see. Okay. All right. And then in terms of CAPEX, right, what kind of maintenance CAPEX would be the on the maintenance side, and how much are you looking in terms of R&D side of CapEx side of things?
So this is Ravi
on
again.
On an annual basis, run so rate.
Just to clarify, the question is about CapEx?
Yes, correct. Okay.
So actually, we don't expect significant investment in CapEx after acquisition. I think the investment will continue to be in R&D across the satellite communication. That's where we develop the new solution, and that's where we drive the growth. So it's more R&D rather than CapEx.
Is there a run rate guidance that you can give us?
I can't give you details except to say that when you look at the satellite communication business as a whole, we expect to continue to invest the rate we have been investing both in UTech and iDirect.
Okay, this, Cedric, of course, I'll just add that.
Thank you so much.
Let me just add that, of course, with every R&D investment, there will be a rigorous process of seeing whether or not there's a return on R&D. So, in fact, the more we invest, and if our rigor is correct, I think the better is the bottom line.
Important to, okay. This is Vincent Chong speaking. I think it's important for us to appreciate that with economies of scale and with larger teams of experts in this in the SATCOM business, we will be able to sharpen our R&D efforts to come up with even more innovative solutions in the SATCOM business. So we are quite optimistic and positive about this this combination.
I see. All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Please.
Okay. If I can just, this is Ravi again. If I can just add on this point about R&D. NewTek today has a very strong technical team, and they've developed good and advanced technologies that are critical for the current business and for the future. And of course, iDirect similarly, we are very strong in certain segments. For example, network management, iDirect is one of the leaders in this area. So together, we are actually bringing on board for our satellite communication business two very strong R&D teams, focus in different areas, but together will give us a more end-to-end and stronger solution to address many of the emerging markets and many of the new opportunities.
Can we have the next question, please? I believe it's from Conrad.
Yes, certainly. We'll hear next from Conrad Werner with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Three questions, please. So on the revenues of this company, can you just describe kind of what the nature is? Do they have to continuously sell new products? Is there any sort of recurring revenue element to the top line? Secondly, on the synergies, sorry to go back to this, what does synergy value actually mean? Is this sort of an earnings impact that you've applied a multiple to get to the $200 million? Because I actually don't have a sense whether it is a good or a bad number. I need to understand a bit more kind of what it is. And then tied to that, the accretion, the earnings accretion in 2020 that you're calling for, can you give us a ballpark of that accretion? Is it kind of low single-digit percentage? And does it require the synergies to come through in order to achieve? I think that's kind of the detail that we're missing at the moment. And then the last question, just on the balance sheet, Cedric, can you sort of where the pro forma gearing is coming in post this deal and MRAS, which I think is due to close imminently as well. Where is the pro forma gearing and how much headroom do you have left to do more of such bolt-on acquisitions? And is it indeed going to take more bolt-on acquisitions to hit this $2 billion, the $2 billion revenue target for the smart city kind of target that you laid out at the strategy day last year? Or can we kind of assume we can still get there from here with organic growth? Thank you.
This is Ravi. So let me address the question about the recurring revenue. So NewTek sells hubs as well as terminals, and this is an ongoing business. They have been growing this business, and we expect this to continue to reoccur and contribute to the group's business.
So, but it's basically they're selling. It's a continuous product sales, right? That's what's making up the top line.
Yes, it is a product sales, and that is how the revenue and the top line is being generated.
The question on
and we'll take
gearing.
Can we get the answers to my questions before?
Yeah. Yeah. Can the moderator just let's finish some of the outstanding questions? The question was, what is the gearing of the company post New Tech acquisition? I think let me point out that actually currently the group has a very, very strong balance sheet, and I would add that it is more equity biased with net debt maybe around 100 or so million only. Therefore, I think to get the balance sheet to work harder for the shareholders, we need to invest. And of course, in this particular case, we found a very accretive and value accretive acquisition that fits into our strategy. And therefore, I think gearing up the balance sheet would actually produce more shareholder value and will improve the capital structure of the company. The increase in net debt to equity just from New Tech acquisition alone will be from 0.2 times to 0.3 times, still a very, very, I would say, strong position balance sheet-wise.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions?
But sorry, there's also MRAS that is in the mix, so I'm just kind of trying to understand.
If we add MRAS...
Post all the recent M&A.
If we add MRAS, then the net equity, net debt to equity would increase from 0.2 to 0.3 with New Tech, and then by another 0.3 to 0.6 with MRAS. So well below what is considered a levered balance sheet. So I think even post MRAS and post New Tech, we believe we will be still a very strong investment grade company. Now the other question is,
and then just the last part of that is there a ceiling that you guys have that you use or that you don't want to exceed?
We, in terms of our capital structure, we strive to look for good investments that are value accretive. I think we are coming from a point where we are still a long way from being even, let's say, single A. So we're still a long way, several billions away. So I think this question is not so relevant at this point for us, because indeed our balance sheet is extremely strong right now. The other question I want to answer is the question on how we calculate, what do you mean by 200 million of value creation. As Ravi said, this will come from both revenue and cost synergy. The cost synergy clearly flows straight to the bottom line and is really driven by economies of scale. The revenue synergy, we will work out what is the net value contribution, in other words, revenue less all the cost. And from both of this cost synergy and net revenue contribution, we will present value it, and then that's how you get your 200 million.
Okay.
This is Vincent speaking. I'd like to answer your final question. Whether we need more acquisition to meet our smart city target. As we mentioned, or as I mentioned during the Investor Day discussion, we're going to get there with a combination of organic as well as, of course, acquisition, organic efforts as well as acquisition. And let me just also make it a very important point that when we look at acquisitions, we look at companies that really add value to our portfolio that will strengthen our business as we move along. And New Tech is one such company, which we obviously have spent a lot of time understanding, reviewing, doing due diligence on how this will strengthen our overall satellite communication portfolio. On our organic efforts, we have also made progress in going into more international markets. For example, we mentioned that we acquired or successfully got awarded an important intelligent road transportation system project in Middle East as one example of how we continue to make inroads in the international market as far as our smart city offers are concerned. So it will be a two-pronged approach. But again, as far as acquisitions are concerned, it is going to be a very, I think, well-thought-through effort, as well as making sure that the targets are
obviously something that can strengthen our business going forward. I just want to make that clarification.
That's great. And maybe just to round it out, any sense of the magnitude of accretion, just ballpark in 2020, and do you need the synergies to get there to achieve that accretion? Thank you. That's it for me.
Okay. Well, Conrad, of course, we will have to incur some integration costs this year in year one, or in this year we will have to incur some transaction costs. Next year there will be some integration costs followed by a couple of years of integration. We expect the earnings accretion to be south of $10 million next year. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Siu Lim with CIMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vincent. The south of $10 million next year is 1 year, right? You're talking about if you close second half 19, and we're talking about full year 2021, right? The second year...
So let me clarify, south of $10 million in year two, which is 2020, and then from then it will grow from 2021 onwards to north of 10. Okay?
Okay.
To the specifics, okay. But that's the kind of value creation that we are looking at.
But you're expecting to grow similarly in terms of how they have been growing the past few years, in terms of your revenue growth?
Yes.
Or you can actually... be better than that?
The answer is yes, and we expect the growth momentum to continue, and then plus with the synergies that we talk about, how we will have even stronger R&D capabilities to come up with more innovative solutions, I think this will strengthen our combined business to a level that is beyond what the individual companies could do on its own.
Okay. Can I just check how much ballpark are you looking at for integration costs, and that will implicate the, electronics profit?
Expect every year in 2020, 2021, integration expense to be south of $10 million each year.
Okay. And can I just, I know that Ravi has actually mentioned the EBITDA margin. Can I just assume, because now you have... all sorts of, I mean the goodwill, etc. Can I assume that the net margin is similar to CSG?
This is Ravi. So after the integration, the net margin will be similar. We'll continue the growth that we have been seeing over the years.
Okay. And thanks. My last question is, how are you going to synergize both culture, US and Europe, what resources are you allocating to drive this, to combine the two? Are you yourself doing it, or how does it work? I'm just seeing that two continents combining, it will take cultural and a lot of resources from management. Can you just walk through what's your plan on combining US and Europe business?
So thank you for that question. So first of all, the satellite business is a very, satellite communication business, a very global business. So both iDirect and NewTek operate globally, although the centers, one is in the US and one is in Europe, in Belgium. So Teng Kam Chen runs our satellite business. He's president for our satellite system business. And he's going to help me look at this integration and see how we can ensure that we get the best of the both companies. We've already done a lot of planning on the integration. We've looked at the strengths of the different companies, and we've looked at how we are going to bring together the two companies and focus on the strengths, both in terms of technology, solutions and products, as well as the market access, and of course access into the new segments and new growth. So this is something that we have planned, and we are going to work very hard to drive as soon as we complete the acquisition.
And let me just add to what Ravi said. This is Vincent. We have a portfolio, a global portfolio of businesses as we speak today. We have also European presence, as you are aware. EFW is a joint venture that we have with Airbus. which we consolidated it a few years ago. And again, it's a European setup, but that's part of our aerospace network that includes the US, Europe, as well as Asian presence. So we have knowledge and know-how within the group to integrate global companies successfully. And obviously, we will put in appropriate resources to make sure that the integration is smooth and the transition is a value creation or value creating. So we're quite confident that we have the resources and know-how to bring this new entity into the group's portfolio successfully.
And we'll take our next question from Pian Han Lau with OCBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for this. I think Ravi earlier mentioned that the historical growth rate of new tech is about high teens. Just wondering, is it for the revenue or net profit line?
This is Ravi. That is for the top line, the revenue.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks. And just now I heard, just wanted to make sure that I heard correctly. The integration cost is about 10 million, south of 10 million per year in 2020 and 2021. So it means that integration costs will be incurred for 2 years, is it?
The bulk of them will be incurred in 2020 and 2021, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Rachel Tan with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is probably a little bit about business. I'll ask them one by one. Could you just explain how new tech products work to the layman who doesn't know much about platform, starting from, say, the end user in the broadcast sector? Like, what does it do?
Okay, Rachel, this is Ravi. Thanks for asking that question. So in the SATCOM industry, as I showed in my slide 5, okay, so there are different plays in different segments of the market. So the satellite manufacturers and constellation owners put the satellite in space. And to be able to utilize this, there's a need for ground terminals to connect to the satellites and reach back. So, for example, if you're on an aircraft, the aircraft has a terminal on the aircraft that is pointing and communicating with a satellite, which then in turn connect to some ground station somewhere in the world, and then you have your phone or your data connectivity. And so this is the same for all the segments. So whether it is aircraft or ship or a car, enterprise business, that means that companies, large shipping or manufacturing or even mining companies, they need bandwidth connectivity. That's the enterprise business. What we do in both IDRA and NewTek is that we provide the hardware and the software that allows for this communication. So the technology is very much in the software that allows the information to be transmitted back and forth. There's also technology to manage the large number of nodes that are being deployed. So between NewTek and iDirect, we provide solutions in this space for different segments. So in the mobility and marine space, the requirement is to be able to provide bandwidth when you're on the move. In the broadcast space, the challenge is how to get very high bandwidth efficiently transferred from one position to another, say for media broadcast. Okay, so this is the business that we are in. We're in the ground segment. We do the hardware, the software to enable the different businesses, different users to use the bandwidth that the constellation owners put out in space. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. It does help quite a lot. Thank you for the explanation. So the next one would be, how would this new tech, as well as iDirect, I guess, this the business that you have going forward, how will it enable or support the rest of your Internet of Things business? The rest of your smart cities business.
Okay. So when you look at the smart city portfolio in each of the verticals, so for example, let me let me address, say, mobility. So whether road or rail or even electric cars and autonomous cars. So in today and, of course, in the future, let me take electric cars and autonomous cars as an example. Today, the cars use a lot of software, and there's a need to regularly update the software as well as to communicate information to the car. So, for example, geographic information. So satellite communication is one of the means of communication, especially when you're out of, say, 4G coverage. Okay. And this also applies even in the smart environment sector. For example, if you're managing utilities or reservoirs or different kinds of assets, including energy assets, there's always a need for connectivity. But in the future, there is an increasing demand to connect end devices so that you can collect the information and manage and optimize the networks in the IoT space. So this is what is called in the industry machine-to-machine communication. Basically, what it simply means is that you want to connect to, say, in the if it's a water, extensive water management network, you want to connect to the reservoirs, you want to connect to the major pumping stations, you need to connect to the distribution pumps. So in a very large country, this could be over extensive space. And typically, we want to connect devices that measure the performance of each of the elements so that collectively the company can monitor, optimize, and make the operation efficiency. So this is the IoT space. This is a growing and emerging space for satellite communications, and we expect this demand to grow in the future.
Okay. I think that's pretty clear and cool. So my final question will be on a non-new tech-related note. In terms of the targets that you mentioned on strategy day, what would be the proportion of growth driven by organic and inorganic for both smart city related as well as overall business targets?
Rachel, this is Vincent. We won't give a split between the two. Suffice to say that we will continue to work towards our target. I mentioned earlier on, I think we take a very considered approach with a combination of strengthening our core businesses by, pursuing more international smart city projects. And when there are attractive acquisition targets like new tech, we will certainly consider. So we'll take a two-pronged approach, but we will not be able to give you a split between the two, the proportion between the two, M&A as well as organic. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's all.
We'll take our next question from James Tao with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Want to just, is it possible to do a comparison of the growth phase of new tech, versus like MRES? I mean, I understand that was in a very high, ramp up phase, 40-50% type of growth. Where are we for new tech in terms of, historically, yeah, it was high teens, but what are we looking at for the upcoming growth independently? And it's not even considering the synergies and so forth yet. What kind of outlook are we looking at? And also in terms of operating leverage, even if the revenue growth is going to be maintained at the high teens, is it a business where you have very strong operating leverage so earnings can grow at a faster pace going forward? So some that will help us there in understanding the business. Secondly, on market share, I know you may be difficult to share or to predict as well, but who are the main competitors? And you mentioned there's a lot more capacity coming out for the LEO satellites. But in the space that new tech is in, being one of the leaders in terms of technology and so forth, but I imagine that there's also many other companies with similar capabilities or doing similar tests on this type of communication. So how are we looking in terms of competition? And thirdly, any update on the MRES acquisition as well? Are we still on track in terms of timeline, or is it more likely to drag into second quarter now? Yeah, that's just three questions. Thank you.
So on this is Ravi. So on the first question, we expect new tech, even on its own, to continue to grow at the rates that it's had in the last few years. So we expect the growth to be in the high teens for the next couple of years. It's actually very strong in its segment, and the segment is growing. So in terms, you asked a question about competition, so I wouldn't mention the competition. Suffice to say that in this high-tech, high-growth satellite communication industry, technology and new products and solutions will be critical for growth. And certainly between iDirect and New Tech, we are at the leading edge. We are testing out new solutions with new technology to meet some of the expected growth areas. So I mentioned, you know, integration of 5G and satellite communication for cars. We talk about New Tech being one of the first to test linkages with LEO satellites. So this is really the growth opportunity for us, and we are in a good position to pursue that growth in the next couple of years.
This is. Let me address your question on MRAS timeline. We did say when we made the announcement on the proposed acquisition that we expected the acquisition to close, transaction to close in first quarter this year. So we have a few more days to go before the first quarter comes to close. I would give you an update. We have already completed or obtained approvals from all the antitrust applications, so we have cleared that. We are waiting for CFIUS approval or clearance, the usual CFIUS clearance. As you would remember, earlier part of this year, there was a partial government shutdown in the U.S. that impacted the speed at which the CFIUS review was carried out. And so we're still waiting for an update. Now, of course, we will provide an update at an appropriate time, given that we're coming to a close of the first quarter. But as I said, you know, the usual CFIUS filing is ongoing, and the process was affected somewhat by the government partial shutdown earlier part of this year. Okay, make announcement at the appropriate time.
Sorry, on the earnings operating leverage.
This is Cedric. What Ravi has said earlier is that this is an entry into a very exciting space. So in other words, I think with LEO satellites, you have broader bandwidth, lower cost, and there's a slide that talks to the number of hubs and terminals is expected to increase quite exponentially. And the use cases, and machine-to-machine, device-to-device, and even using satellite signals for 5G-enabled deployment. So the sense we have here is that the top line growth will actually be quite smart going forward, and especially when you put the two companies together, this space is really quite exciting. In terms of operating leverage, a lot of our costs are also R&D cost, and to the extent that the same R&D can be leveraged upon to win new businesses. And especially as we look at each other's R&D and IPs, I think to that extent there is some operating leverage. But I would say that it is not as high as those that has a factory already built and you're just producing new products. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay, can we have the next question? I think it's from Majid.
Yes, we'll take our next question from Tejas with UBKN. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Sorry about that. Thanks for taking my call. Several questions from me. I'm just trying to understand, firstly, in terms of the bandwidth cost comparison, for example, with SATCOM bandwidth cost vis-a-vis fiber band broadband band cost. Is there some substantial premium currently, and do you expect that to narrow going forward? So that's my first question. Then in terms of New Tech products and solutions, does it have an existing contract, or does it currently already provide solutions to the LEO satellite operators like Telesat and so forth? That's my second question. Third question is in terms of the integration cost that you mentioned. Would this involve some of the cost in terms of retaining existing employees? I guess these are my three questions.
Thank you for the question. This is Ravi. So on the first question, today if you look at the prices per megabit for satellite communication, it's about $1,000. We expect this to drop over in the coming years to $10. So this is quite a significant change that's going to make a lot more applications cost effective and grow the demand, and in turn, you know, grow the opportunity for us to sell the ground infrastructure, both in managing the networks as well as the hardware and the software that you need for the communicating with the satellites. On your second question about LEO constellation, so LEO constellations are relatively new, and in fact, at this point, some of the constellation operators, owners, have only put up test satellites. So the business is not yet been established, but we expect once the constellations start to go up and stabilize, this demand will grow, and we will start to see the revenue opportunities.
Okay, if a follow-up question, then if I may have a follow-up question on this, so are you saying that currently the NewTex products are used on the GEO satellites, GEO and MEO satellites?
Yes. So on your question is, so NewTex products today are used, and today most of all the satellite communication is driven by GEO satellites. So in particular in the broadcast industry, they're one of the key players providing satellite solutions for the broadcast industry and also some of the other segments.
Okay. Thank you.
On your question about retention costs, certainly that's a very important consideration. NewTek brings, the NewTek team brings on board some very strong technical capabilities, and we intend to ensure that the management team and some of the key technical leads will stay with us through the integration and build a strong R&D center for us in Belgium with the center that we have in the US and in Singapore.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Can we have the next question? Perhaps maybe last two questions from anyone?
Sure, we'll take our next question from Rachel Tan with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, just on the follow on the MRAS, has the additional distribution option been triggered, or are you just still waiting on the original kind of business?
Can you ask your question again, because we lost you a little bit? What's your question?
Okay, the CFIUS review has two parts, right? One is the regular 45-day and slightly delayed by the shutdown, and then there's a second investigatory phase which could last another 45 days. So has that been kind of triggered, or are you still currently in the first business as usual phase, but just facing delays from the shutdown?
Just to answer your question, we are in the second phase of the usual CFIUS filing process. As I mentioned, we will make an announcement on the status, official announcement on the status, and appropriate juncture. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Questions from our analyst friends? We can take one more last question.
We'll take our last question from Shikhar Jaiswal again from RHB Research.
Hey, hi, morning, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Hello. Hey, hi. Okay. I have two simple questions. One, is there any revenue overlap between NewTek and your CSG group, be it product or segments? Secondly, you mentioned you were going to borrow to support this acquisition. Will it be a local currency borrowing, or are you looking to borrow overseas?
So, hi, this is Ravi. So on the first question on revenue overlap, the overlap is small, and we've taken it into account when we look at the synergies and the growth.
In terms of borrowings, we intend to bridge this acquisition. The acquiring vehicle is in the UK and the ST Engineering Europe, and we are likely to go out with the bulk of the borrowings in US dollar terms.
Okay, thank you.
So is there any more question that's on the queue?
And we do have a couple more questions in the queue.
Okay, we will do the one last question.
Okay, great. We'll take our last question from James Tew with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Coming to the earnings accretion again, I understand, if I'm not wrong, you see this as a very accretive and good acquisition, but with 200 million value creation, less than 10 million earnings accretion in year two, is it a lot of, and we're purchasing it for 383 million Sing equivalent, are we looking at a lot in terms of, terminal value, or how do you come to the conclusion, how do you assess it, and what's the IRR that you use to determine that this is a positive acquisition on net present value basis? Yeah, that's this one. Thank you.
And I'll let Cedric chime in later on. When we look at acquisitions, we look at what's the intrinsic value of a particular company based on our outlook of the ability for the company to pursue growth in the industry. Over and above that, we look at synergies that can be created when we bring an entity into the portfolio, and that's where we talk about the value creation. So this company has its own intrinsic value, and over and above that, we are able to generate synergies to a tune of a value of $200 million with the bulk of it expected to manifest in the next 5 to 7 years. I think that's how we look at acquisitions, and we take a very disciplined approach and rigorous analysis. Of course, we are not at liberty to obviously tell you what our IRR hurdle is. This is obviously very sensitive information. But we expect this acquisition to really strengthen our satellite communication business, as this presentation today and the discussion today would reveal. And like any acquisition, there will be upfront integration costs in the first 2-3 years. And despite that, we expect this entity to be value accretive from year two onwards. And I mentioned south of 10 million, but then as the integration cost fades out, we expect the value creation to, or rather the business accretion to continue to strengthen in the years ahead.
Okay, thank you.
So I think that sums up, what we have to present for today. So thank you all for joining this call. As usual, if you do have any more further questions, just contact either Sylvia or I. Thank you again. So we will now hand over to Karine again.
Thank you. Once again, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your phone lines.